Hey everybody, it's Andrew.
And it's Morag.
And we are back with another Hulips episode.
If you want to learn English for everyday use, you've come to the right place. At Hulips, we help make English understandable. By listening to our podcast, you can learn natural expressions and conversational structure. If you're interested in learning more about Hulips and what we do, check us out on Facebook or our website, hulips.com. That's Culips.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Morag, how's it going?
Pretty well, Andrew. Pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing well also. And it's great to talk to you again. Yeah, it's been a little while since we last recorded, but it feels great to get back into the swing of things. And I think we have a great episode for our listeners today.
I agree with you, Andrew. I think this one is going to be a lot of fun and really nostalgic.
Yeah, a little trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
And I guess I should catch everybody up with what this episode will be about today. We're going to do a chatterbox episode. And this is where we have a natural conversation. We use 100% natural English, just like we would in our everyday lives. But we speak just a touch slower, and we are conscious of the fact that you are English learners. We keep that in mind to make our conversation a little easier to understand than maybe a conversation on the street, for example. But our topic today is nostalgic Canadian kids TV.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, so I guess a little background. The other day, I was hanging out with some of my Korean friends, and we were speaking in Korean, and the topic of TV came up. We were talking about TV, and I know a little bit about current Korean TV, some of the popular celebrity talk shows that are on the air now. But my friends started talking about TV shows that are now off the air, and I had no idea what they were talking about. I wasn't able to participate in the conversation. And it struck me that, you know, cultural knowledge, knowing about the pop culture of the language you're trying to learn, is very important. And so this made me realize, whoa, there is a lot of really weird Canadian TV, especially from the 80s and 90s that our generation grew up with, that if you're not aware of it, you might find yourself in a situation that is similar to the one that I was in. So here we have it today, nostalgic Canadian kids TV.
I don't know, Andrew, though. I think you're really right about cultural knowledge being incredibly important for communicating with other people. When I was a kid, I was sort of not allowed to watch TV, but my parents knew that if I had no idea what the other kids were watching, I wouldn't be able to make friends the same way or have the same shared experience. So I did get to watch a little.
Okay, so that is very interesting. And what we'll do to start this episode is we'll talk about some of our TV watching habits when we were kids. So yeah, that's interesting. You said that your parents didn't really let you watch TV. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Let's put it this way. I did not have access to unregulated, unsupervised television. And for a long time, I wasn't even aware that there were kids' shows. I was allowed to watch some movies or some things that were pre-recorded, or I was allowed to watch things with my parents. But the reason for that was actually they were worried about advertising. And me being literate in the sense of understanding what marketing was and, you know, how some things can be taking advantage of you or presenting something that's kind of messed up, you know? So I had somebody, usually my mom, sitting with me and sort of asking me questions about, even when I was a really little kid, asking me questions about what I was watching and seeing if I was thinking critically about it. It's a pretty cool way to go about it, honestly. Like, I'm quite thankful for it now. But my favorite stuff and the stuff that I really remember, I was just enjoying like kids do, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So you had a TV in your house, but it was just controlled and you were always reflecting on what you were watching.
I also don't remember at what age I got a TV. Definitely had a computer before cable.
I guess your experience is a little bit similar to mine. I don't recall my parents ever sitting down with me and, well, they would monitor my TV, but I think my parents were more the type to watch the programs beforehand when I wasn't around, and then they would deem the program watchable or not.
Ah, yes.
For example, you know, a hugely popular TV series that's still going is The Simpsons. And my parents thought that Bart Simpson had a bad attitude and that would reflect negatively on me. So I was never allowed to watch The Simpsons.
That's sad.
It's sad because these days it's such a huge part of popular culture. It's such a huge reference point for so many people. And I never watched it. Whenever that conversation topic comes up or somebody quotes a famous Simpsons line, I'm left in the lurch. I don't know what to do.
I find that really funny because The Simpsons was specifically the thing that I remember my mother saying that I should watch because she was aware that it was so popular and so much of a touchstone for our generation that she was like, you're going to be totally out of the loop if you don't get this. They probably had similar desires to sort of protect our little minds, but exactly opposite execution.
Right. Yeah. It's very funny. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I wanted to focus specifically on Canadian TV. Simpsons is an example of a huge American show, but this is something kind of unique to Canada. We had, like I mentioned earlier, in the 80s and the 90s, quite a lot of unique Canadian TV shows that were made for kids. And yeah, so let's maybe talk about a couple of them.
Absolutely.
Can you remember any of your favorite shows to watch?
Yeah, I do remember watching YTV, what did that stand for? Was it just youth television?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's youth television, yeah.
Right. So it was the sort of very kid-focused, silly channel, and but Canadian. And I remember watching a bunch of stuff on there. One of my favorites was Reboot when I was little. And that one is a really awesome, totally 3D computer graphic animated TV show about people living in a computer, essentially. Right.
That sounds exactly right to me. Things that I remember about Reboot, to me, it was the first computer animated show that I had seen. I guess it played in the mid to late 90s, 95, 96, somewhere in there. And yeah, it looked like no other cartoon I had ever seen before. It was like a computer game. And it's kind of a sci-fi show for kids, I suppose. Like, I remember in every episode, the characters that lived in a computer, the computer would be loaded up with a game. So a game would come into the computer that the characters were living in, and then they had to go into the computer game. So it's actually really kind of a meta show.
I thought it was amazing. It was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was also beautiful at the time. I think it's still actually, it's still really interesting looking, but like, oh man, as a kid, that was the coolest looking thing I ever saw.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to find out if our listeners know about this show. Maybe it was played in your country too, or got translated into your language, because I think it was quite an influential show, not just in Canada, but maybe in some other countries as well. So if you watched Reboot, let us know. I'd be interested to find out.
Me too. Yeah. I also really liked one or two that weren't really that influential. Uh-Oh was super fun.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned it earlier, Morag, but YTV, this channel, this youth television specifically for kids, was pretty wacky, and they did a lot of goofy things. And one of the funniest shows for me as well was Uh-Oh. And could you briefly explain what Uh-Oh was?
Well, Uh-Oh was sort of a game show, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But with physical challenges? Am I remembering this correctly? Sorry, this is all going deep into the memory banks. but you had teams, and they'd have to do ridiculous physical challenges that usually involved getting really messy.
Exactly. So there's a lot of slime being poured on people's heads. Yeah. I don't know if all kids' TV shows are like this, but sometimes when I think back on them, I'm like, how was that popular even? How did that get approved by the YTV management? Because in this show, there was one character called the Punisher. Do you remember the Punisher?
Oh my God. It's flooding back. Yeah.
The Punisher, if you lost the game, he was like this giant guy that was kept in a cage in the side of the TV set. And if you lost, he would come over and grab you. And I can't remember what he did with you. Maybe he put you in the cage or locked you up or something.
Something like that. Yeah. You lost, and so he would take you away, kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. But I can't imagine being a kid and being kidnapped by the Punisher. It seems like a very trauma-inducing experience.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my God.
I don't know if you remember as well. YTV was almost like a Much Music or an MTV, because they would play a program, and then in between programs, they had a VJ, a video jockey, that would come on and just do a little 5-minute bit of entertainment. And after school, the VJ show was called The Zone, and I always loved watching The Zone.
Was that okay? So this is an incredibly Canadian reference. Was Sean McJumner one of those guys?
Possibly. I remember a guy named Phil.
Right.
Phil, and he had his friend was called Snit.
Oh my God.
So it was Phil and Snit.
Oh my God.
And Snit was this kind of monster that had a TV screen in his head. And yeah, they always just did really funny things, Phil and Snit, in between shows.
Oh my God. No, okay, sorry. I just looked it up because I had to. Sean McJumner, he did the slime tour segments on Uh-Oh.
And
now he's on This Hour Is 22 Minutes and Just for Laughs and stuff. So he went from kids comedy to adult sort of Canadian developed comedy.
That's funny. We've been watching him for a long time.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's only 44, though. I don't even know how that works. Wow.
Yeah, he must have been just starting his career when we were watching him as kids. I think what we'll do for this episode, since we're throwing out all these unique references to Canadian culture, I'm going to make a blog post and post a lot of short YouTube clips on this blog post. If you're listening and you want to see what we're talking about, check out our blog, and that might be the easiest way to get a visual. I wanted to also talk about a show. You mentioned Reboot earlier. Did you ever watch a show called The Odyssey?
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. A lot of my friends, I bring this show up with them, and they don't know what I'm talking about. But The Odyssey was this crazy show And again, I don't know how this got approved by management. It was broadcasted on the CBC, so the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And the Odyssey was all about a boy, a main character, who had been in an accident and was now in a coma.
Oh, okay.
And so the story, it was kind of this fantasy story, kind of like a Princess Bride or even a Lord of the Rings kind of medieval fantasy world. And this was all taking place within the boy's brain. So the story was like the dream that the kid was having while he was in a coma. But it would have connections to the world outside of the dream too. So some scenes would be like his family visiting him in the hospital, and then it would go back to the story that was happening inside his head.
It's ringing a bell. I think I've probably seen that. It clearly made a much larger impression on you than on me, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember I used to watch this at my friend's house. We'd come home after school, and he was more into it than I was. And I always just remembered thinking, wow, this is such a weird premise, the story that's happening in this guy's brain. And to an extent, it reminds me of Reboot. It's like the story of the computer game happening to the characters that are living in the computer.
Canadian media in general tends to be weirder for some reason. We make a lot of very strange horror movies and things like that. As a nation, we're kind of odd in some of the stuff we create. I guess there's not as much money to be made, so people are more experimental, maybe? I don't know.
Well, this show, like I said, was on the CBC, which is the public broadcasting corporation in Canada. They're taxpayer-funded. They don't rely on advertising as much as maybe a more commercial channel, which gives them some freedom to do wacky stuff like the show The Odyssey.
Yeah. Well, I remember some of my favorite stuff as a kid were the NFB, which is the National Film Board of Canada, short films or animated series. Do you remember any of that? Like there was, I think Pingu was one of them.
Pingu, I remember.
Yeah. An adorable penguin that never talks but only quacks.
It was kind of claymation.
It was claymation, 100%.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole series of them. I think there's, if you'll do me a favor and put this one up on the blog post.
Sure.
There's these like very Canadian songs that were animated in an incredibly 90s way. There's one called Black Fly.
Oh, really?
And that song gets in my head. It was, I think, written in the 40s about working outside in Northern Ontario and being annoyed to death by black flies. And it has this crazy super 90s kind of jagged animation to it.
Okay.
And I just remember watching those shorts on CBC when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And they were super cool.
Oh, I've never seen that, but now I'm really curious to check it out.
You may well have seen it actually, Andrew. I've shown this to people at parties and they end up going, "Oh my God, I didn't remember," you know?
Yeah. Okay, when we're done recording, I'm going to check it out and see if it rings a bell.
Yeah.
Speaking of theme songs, there's a couple theme songs from shows that I watched as a kid that still from time to time get stuck in my head. I don't know if you recall the show The Littlest Hobo.
I do not.
It was about a dog, a German Shepherd dog that would have adventures and help people solve mysteries.
Well, that sounds adorable.
It's really cute. And the theme song was amazing and still sometimes gets stuck in my head. As well, there was another show called Camp Caribou. And Camp Caribou was this wacky show that took place at a summer camp. And they had a super catchy theme song. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but I will include it in the blog post. And yeah, sometimes you'll catch people whistling these songs or humming these songs, and you can just sort of take a trip down memory lane with them when you're reminded of these things from our past.
I do that sometimes with the Goosebumps theme, but that's not really hummable the same way. It just invades my brain from time to time.
Yeah, I think these theme songs, at least in my case, they're sort of ingrained. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched them so many times. Every day you heard this song, so it just got locked in there.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how much you remember from when you were a little kid. I think that's part of what makes this stuff so important. It just will never leave you. You have it forever.
And it's something, this sort of goes back to what we said at the top of the show. It's something that unites us in a weird way. We always talk in Canada about Canadians having no cultural identity, but I find this is something that people from all across Canada, from our generation, we can talk about some of these shows and everybody knows what we're talking about. But maybe, you know, Americans or Brits, they don't have that knowledge. They have their own culture, their own media, but this is one of the things that, weirdly enough, I think brings people together across the country.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's pretty cool. Okay, well, I think that's all the time we have for today.
I think you're right, Morag. But before we go, I want to remind everybody that's listening out there to please check out our website, culips.com. That's culips.com, to learn about becoming a Culips member.
Yes, and we definitely recommend that you do that because Culips members get full access to our learning materials.
Yep, and the learning materials are a great way to study while listening to Culips. In the learning materials, you'll get transcripts, detailed explanations of the key expressions and vocabulary that you hear us use, and you get quizzes for each episode. So this is a really great way to study with us.
And pretty fun. So you should check out culips.com to learn about becoming a member.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back soon with another Culips episode.
Bye.
Bye.